Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pod, get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. The coterie escaped the club and found sanctuary at Mayday Malone's before setting off to recover in their own ways. Ridley is slowly healing while he hunts for a metal worker to make more silver bullets. Everett needs to buy new clothes and have his fated meeting with Jocelyn St. James. And Iris was cleared of the murder of Gordon Stevenson and reunited with Emily. What horrible surprises await the coterie now that everything seems to be going right. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
The night off has begun and is off to a rip-roaring start. Having been cleared of the crimes levied against her through some clever flesh-crafting and a thrall who is now leading a real strange life, Iris Dunn, you are off the hook and having a bath. I've got the feeling that this is kind of going to be your night. It's probably going to be like talking to Emily and then just relaxing, being yourself again. I imagine this is the first of like several baths or showers in kind of a, I gotta wash Lurleen, like I gotta deep cleanse my undead flesh. So I'm imagining this is actually probably gonna take you off the board for most of this session. But before we do that, I did want to just check in and see if you're gonna convey this to Ridley and Everett, and if so, what you think you'd send them.
Yeah, I definitely like probably text Everett because I know that Ridley won't get it. So I'd either call or text them to be like, oh, sorry to run away. I just got really excited because I get to be a little bit of myself again. By the way, cleared of all wrongdoing. Police no longer are chasing after me. Whee! Bad news. Yeah, bad news. There's a pseudo Gordon Stevenson running around, so sorry. Just let him be.
Great. I'll call Ridley because I'm out.
Well, here's the question. Are you guys going shopping together or are you going like on separate trips?
Did you need to buy stuff?
Well, I'm going to a metal worker, but I don't fucking need to buy like pants unless we feel like I need something fancy. You know what? I think we should combine these things because I'd like to get your advice on the armaments that I'm wanting to get dealt with. And I feel like I can help you with the fashion because, frankly, you look like a homeless police officer. And I don't think that's the look you want as like a vampire badass, especially not if we got to go to this fucking Elysium. We got to get fucking fancy, like classy as shit. Also, what the fuck's going on with Iris? Should I be worried?
No, I'll just read this out to you here. She's sorry. She took off early. She's taking the night to get back to being herself. She's been cleared of all charges and suspicions. Apparently a Gordon Stevenson lookalike, I guess, is been sent out into the world to, I guess, make sure to cover her tracks. So that's the end of that, I guess.
That's fucking convenient. All right. Well, that's nice. So she'll be all right. Well, I guess she doesn't need any new fucking clothes because she's all fancy again. So we can kind of let her mince about whatever the fuck she does. And we can just go do our thing.
I was just going to buy a new shirt, coat, and hat.
Yeah, but do you think that's going to go over well in Elysium? I don't think so. So we'll get you a shirt, coat, and hat for day to day, and then we've got to get you an Elysium outfit, you know? You're going to court for the first time. You can't go to court dressed like a homeless person. Then you go to fucking jail. You got to look like a business person.
But a tuxedo or what?
Well, I think we should look at what we can find at this hour, but maybe tuxedo? Here's the problem. Iris is the only one who knows how we should fucking dress, and she's off, I don't know, having a bath and being like, ooh, fancy. So we're just going to have to fucking wing it.
We could call Dedrick if you want. I mean, he seems to know about previous Elysiums.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty fucking good. And I just call up one of the burner phones.
You hear some, like, fumbling, and that's that thing people do where they're like, I'm guilty of this all the time, where I can't remember which key buzzes people in, so I just hit the three that it might be one of. So if you're down there, it's just like, beep, beep, and then the door opens. So you just hear that, and you hear Dedrick saying, hello, beep, hello, hi.
I'm putting you on speaker, just so you know. So we've got to go to this Elysium. Do we have to dress fucking fancy for this? Like, what's the dress code?
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but you probably should. I mean, the who's who of Camarilla are going to be there. I think it's honestly, it's the first of its kind in centuries. I would say dressing up fancy. I mean, I'm not even going to wear my patented shark sweater. I'm going for something much fancier. Don't know what yet, but it's probably going to have feathers.
Okay, so we talking like regular tux and tails, fancy, or are we talking like, oh, everyone dresses up like Napoleon because people are a fucking million years old?
Oh, that's a good question. There will definitely be some Napoleon outfits, I am sure. But here's what I would warn you. Elysium is all about showing the other coteries and the rest of the Camarilla society here in Montreal what you're about. So dress up, sure, but make sure it reflects you. So, for instance, I don't know that Mr. Fry in a tuxedo would necessarily represent him or what he's capable of, and I would imagine you would leave yourself open to some rather vicious mockery. As I said, my friends can be a bit mean sometimes, like that time they sent those Inquisitor folks after me, which was a pretty good goof. But they can be very, very mean, and sometimes you can take social damage from which you will never recover. So, you know, just be ready.
So, like, ourselves, but nicer. Like, yeah. If you were going to, like, a wedding or something.
Yeah,
where, like, you had to be terrifying.
Yeah. If this was a video game, it would be, like, the cool downloadable content that they make you pay for to look like yourself, but extra cool. Do you play video games?
I don't know what any of that means. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't know what that means. Okay, in terms of, like, let's say, you know, The Godfather, where you've got a bunch of gangsters getting together and everyone's got to be there, but you got to dress nice. So what we're saying is, little bit scary, little bit classy, but, you know, don't fucking lie about who you are or whatever.
Yeah. Like, if you were a master swordsman going to Elysium, you'd want to, like, wear your swords in a cool ceremonial fashion so people saw you're really good at swords. But it'd be really weird if that person showed up in a tuxedo, because it'd be like, well, why not a sword outfit, you know? I don't know what a sword outfit is, but...
Let's say you were mangled in a fucking fire. Would people make fun of you for that? Or do you need like some sort of Phantom of the Opera fucking mask?
I mean, you could wear a Phantom of the Opera mask, but no, I think that was a pretty big to do. And also, I believe I think I saw, was that Azaria Tyrell running away? Because she's been around, and she carries some sway. So if you're pals with her, and you helped her, I think people just kind of recognize. I mean, your friend, obviously, because I don't know who we're talking about, who might have a burnt face right now. But your friend with a burnt face would probably look like a hero for having helped save her.
I'll put my hand over the mic on the phone and just say, Gordon Stevenson. And then I'll take my hand off and be like, yeah, I think Miss Tyrell may have already kind of flexed on our behalf. We must be real good friends.
Oh, that's great.
I fucking get it. And then he covers it up and he's like, she's got to fight Gordon Stevenson. I get it. I fucking get it. Crafty. I like it. I like her. Wait.
Hello? Am I still on speaker?
I'm sorry. We're losing you. And then he just like breaks the phone in half and throws it away. And he's like, so what about that fucking Australian woman who set me on fire? You got to meet her, right? So.
Yeah, I got to get some clothes and then I'm heading over to meet her.
Okay, yeah. So we can do the clothes together and then I'll go and we can do the order placement for the weapons together and then I'll go eat and you can go find a fire lady.
You're going to eat again?
Have you seen my fucking face? And he just points at like his weird two-faced half. He's like, this gets better when I fucking eat. I found that out today when I ate that police officer.
Hold up. When did you eat a cop?
I ate him before I came upstairs. There was this homophobic cop and I fucking ate the fuck out of him. And that's why I feel so much better.
The boys brought a cop to the bar?
No, the boys brought a homophobic cop to the bar as a fucking snack.
What? Just the hands up on his head.
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking. Don't worry. I've got that construction contact. So we'll take him. The body will get fed into the basement of a new condo. Nobody will ever find it. You don't have to worry. We're going to be fine.
Ridley, this cannot come back to us, all right? No, it's bad enough.
He's going in the basement. He's not going to fuck your friends. He's a shitty homophobe. Fuck him.
I get that. Again, he's a shitty homophobe and you ate him. And that's I can't change the past or anything like that. But have you spoken to the boys about how careful they were in apprehending and bringing him to Mayday Malone's?
Yeah, I assume they're fucking careful. They kidnapped the cop. They're not fucking dumb.
Nothing, Ripley.
Okay, boys, we need a fucking talk, apparently. Come on up, Chonky, you too. Let's fucking do this. They tromp up, and I imagine it's like a class worried that they're going to get in trouble with the teacher.
Yeah, but instead of like adorable little urchins, it's just these like massive dudes. And they're all like, what's going on, boss?
Okay, so Everett is worried that you may have been seen kidnapping that shitty police officer that I ate. So were you careful?
And Chonky just kind of looks around and is like, wait, you idiots kidnapped a cop? Ryan, what do you think is like the fifth in command? Like, he's pretty far down the chain, but was responsible for this particular part of the operation.
Spunker.
So Spunker, who I think we're going to say, like a big smiley round face. And he's got that like a Civil War facial hair where it's like, it comes down, sort of like down to his chin is shaved up and over, almost a mutton chop situation going on. So mustache and chops, but his sweet little cleft chin is just ever so visible.
Yeah, and the mutton chops are bright blue and glittery.
Yeah. I mean, of course. What other color do mutton chops get in? That's what I've learned from old-timey photos. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. It was really great. You see, we decided to disguise ourselves because we're a little noticeable. So we just dressed like construction guys. Just put on the construction vests and the hats. Then we got the cop. We were a few guys short of a YMCA, but it was pretty close.
This was at a live construction site?
Oh, yeah. He was just sitting around, supposed to be just keeping an eye on the site. But, you know, who watches the watchman, right? No one had eyes on him, so pow, bag over the head, in you go.
Yeah, great. I just want to make sure I got this right. You brought you abducted a police officer and brought him here while we were sleeping. So that means you abducted him in broad fucking daylight at a live construction site.
Yeah, the boss said he was hungry. I had to go get him a snack. I mean, look, if, you know, when Chonky wants a cheeseburger in the morning, we still go to McDonald's and demand they make him a cheeseburger. So the boss said he wanted a snack. We went and got a snack. What's the big deal?
Who was there when you abducted the police officer? Raise your hands. Who did that?
So it's Spunky and Blazane Hansen, who is more an otter than a bear, but he's trying. He's just one of those guys whose metabolism is just too good for him to quite get to bear. And he's sitting there and he's just like eating a morning poutine. Or I guess it's evening. So he's chowing down a poutine. And he's like, yeah, what? Yeah, I helped. Me, Blazane Hansen.
It's two people then, basically? These two guys did it?
Yeah, Spunker and Blazane.
I turn to Ridley and say, these two guys can't be here for a little while.
Well, I mean,
they got to lay low somewhere.
Yeah, well, they lay low in a fucking basement. We don't have much. We got this place, and then we got nothing.
Right,
I don't want to send them home. Like,
they all do have individual residences throughout town.
Well, we don't want to send them to their own house. Wait, Chonky, you're going to stay here because you're a vampire now. You got a fucking apartment. Why don't we put them in your place?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, just don't look under the bed.
Okay, you guys are going to go there. You're not going to look under the bed, and you could come out in 10 to 14 days. I don't want to see you leave any apartment. You fucking Uber Eats people. Do you know what? Don't Uber Eats. That's a bad idea. Call the other boys. I'm so used to not having you after this fucking sewer. Okay, so they'll feed you, and you stay. And you know what? If you have to go out, which, again, you don't, you wear a mask because that'll keep you safe from other people seeing you or you seeing other people. So stay in. Give us your phones. You don't get phones. And they'll bring you food. It's 10 to 14 days until we know you're clear.
Are you
point to TJ and everyone else, all the other boys in the bar, and I say, you all work on your story, by the way, because they will be sending someone bad to ask around.
Well, you don't know if they tracked him back here.
If they tracked him at all, they'll come back here asking questions, anything like that. It's better to have a concise and straight story shared amongst everyone.
Right. It was karaoke night. Everyone was here, and then everyone was cleaning up after karaoke night. Through the day. Nailed it.
And you didn't see... I legitimately forgot their names.
No, Spunker and Blazane Hansen.
And no, you did not see Spunker.
That is not true. Don't say that. Spunker and Blazane helped you here. We're not throwing them to fucking jail. Then they just won't get to talk to him, and it'll all blow over when we blame it on someone else if they show up.
If they were here, they're going to ask where they are so they can talk to them as well.
Okay, say that Spunker and Blazane work for the orphans. They're not actually with this gang. They're with the orphans, the vampire biker gang who own that strip club I want.
That works for me.
Chonky's like, all right, looks like we're in agreement. Spunker, that was real dumb. It's going to cost you. And he just reaches out and tugs on the blue sparkly mutton chops. He's like, defining features are going to be a real problem. So... get shaven. And you just see Spunker's eyes go wide. He's like, oh, come on, boss, not that. He's like, that's the cost of stupidity. It's going to cost you those mutton chops. Those beautiful, majestic mutton chops.
And Ridley will step forwards because he's got to stay magnanimous as the group leader and be like, okay, boys, so you did something I love, but you're also fucked up, which means you're going to be punished for 10 to 14 days and you're going to lose your mutton chops. However... sometime, if you do good, by the end of the month, I'm sending you both to Barbados for an all-inclusive for a week. But only if they fucking believe this orphan story. So you got to stay hidden and you got to do your job. And then you get to go to Barbados, all right?
They nod. And Blazane is like, I've always wanted to go to Barbados. And Spunker's like, it wasn't high on my list, but yeah, okay. Guess I can regrow my chops there.
Chonky, give me your keys. Now you two fuck off. Call the Dinkeldorf Cab Company, and he gives them a Dinkeldorf card. And he's like, call that way nobody will know where the fuck you go. No more Uber or shit. No one can know where you are. Okay, do it.
They fuck right off. Off they go. Out into the world and to flag a cab from the beloved Dinkeldorf Cab Company. So, Ryan, did you have any other words for the Bear Boys before you guys go on your shopping adventure? I know you'd mentioned wanting to confront them about the Satin Prince business.
Yeah, what the fuck happened with the Satin Prince? Yeah. I might as well.
We kind of...
here. What the fuck happened?
That's a really good point.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
They all get real sheepish, and Chonky's like, I got to admit, we're still kind of new to this whole magic thing, and we all just thought we really liked his music, style, ability, charisma, but I think he cast some kind of spell on us. A bunch of us were compelled to do stuff we wouldn't normally do, like fight you and abandon the bar and such. But, you know, I guess the lesson was that we loved too much and too well. And it fucked us.
But where and when did this start happening? We can't assume that one vampire hypnotized or enthralled another coterie's.
Did he come here? Like, how did he fucking find you?
We went to the concert. You hooked us up with tickets, so we went there. From what we saw, it was a lot of his fans were, you know, he was handing out shots and backstage passes, and one thing led to another.
So did you do it because you loved him? Is that what you were saying? Like, your love was perverted or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like we were just really excited, and it was an honor to be in his you know, cool inner circle. And the next thing you know, we were groupies. But I think, honestly, look... It's not the first time someone's tried to slip something into my drink, and normally they walk away with one hell of a black eye or some jail time. But in this case, it was so strange. It was just like all the feelings we felt towards him were amplified. It was crazy. It's like we could hear him in our heads, just singing private tunes just for us. Honestly, it was the best relationship I've ever been in. I just wish it wasn't a weird, coercive, hypnotized, non-consensual thing.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us and our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awful. So I'm aware of one kind of supernatural bond that we could do, but it becomes like a question mark, so it would be voluntary if you boys wanted to do it. But if you drink a vampire's blood 3 times, then you'll fall deeply in love with them, which will mean they might be able to help you fight off these other weird love potion bullshit.
I mean...
I'm not saying it's going to be mandatory, but, you know, if we gave you all a little bit of my blood 3 times, then we'd bond a band together.
Or our love would tear us apart. I mean, look, I've established the Bear Boys, we love pretty hard. And our hearts ache sometimes from that. So, Ridley, with all due respect, sir, if we all fell in love with you, I think we'd... it'd probably be one of those poly situations that is real good for a time, and when it's good, it's real good. But then we'd eventually all end up at each other's throats. We wouldn't be able to be in the same room. There'd be a lot of weird breakups and stuff. Honestly, I won't put the boys through that, and I don't want to put you through that, sir. But it is good to know. I think, really, the lesson here is... Let's never go to a Satin Prince concert again. But as I understand, that's really not going to be an issue because you killed him and such. So, yay.
Okay, then I think we'll put a more abstract rule on this. We only drink here. We can go out and we can see a fucking show, but we'll only drink at TJ Malone's because I don't think TJ is going to drug you. And he just points to like an exhausted war vet behind the bar. And he's like, he's fucking reliable.
Yep. He says, spitting into a glass and shining it.
Ooh.
Okay, so we only drink here. And I got 2 jobs for you then. Job one, take Chonky. We need Chonky and Arvi. I need you to get coffins. I want one that Arvi likes. I want one that Chonky likes. I want one that seems Everett appropriate. And I want the fanciest fucking wanker coffin for Iris. And I want you to put him in a basement. Do you want anything for the office? Do you want like some sort of fancy chair or some fucking thing?
It's really fine. It's all right as it is.
Okay, he's fine. TJ, do you need anything?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, so get the coffins, and that will be... I said there was two things. I think there might only be one thing. I think it's just the coffins. That seems pretty fucking solid.
And the nod, and one of the dumber bear boys is like, all right, five race car coffins coming up. And Chonk is like, no, you know what? You stay here. We're not sleeping in race cars again.
Oh, I remember the other thing. Yeah, you stay, and then like two smarter boys stay. If this is going to be our thing, where it's the only place we can drink and stay safe, I need you to go out and get those fucking metal detectors or whatever, and I want you to go through the old bar and the old basement and see if you can find any bugs or anything so we can clean those cunts out, and then we're fucking fine moving forward because it'll never be empty. That's the trick to having a good fucking hideout. So sweep the fucking place and clean it out of any sort of fucking buggy bullshit.
One of the boys starts like kind of Ron Swanson tittering, like just that little like, and they're like, yeah, Gary, we can go to the spy shop. And he's like, yes, finally a reason to go to a spy shop. With that, they pack up and head out to go find some sweepers. So having, sort of taken care of the bear boys and set up the new status quo, the two of you, load up the car and, head to, oh, I guess you're taking a cab still, to the Dinkeldorf. A Dinkeldorf cab pulls up and, takes you to the mall. So first order of business, Everett, you need new clothes. What are the two outfits you guys pick for your Elysium wear?
I get my hat, my long coat, and a dress shirt again.
Mm-hmm.
And for Elysium, I think it will be just, I think he'll go to a, my abilities are like, I can investigate real good.
Well, it's a question. So whatever, we got you regular clothes, but like, do you want to look like a cop? Do you want to look like some sort of bounty hunter? Or do you want to be like, I'm a classy gentleman? Because I feel like those three things are all kind of true about you based on the moment. But who do you want to be in vampire world?
I think I'm just going to buy a nice holster. I think I'm just going to open carry.
As good as holsters are us.
You're going to get made fun of so much, though, because you're not going to look fancy at all. You're going to look like someone brought along the man they found outside.
I mean, I'll get nice trousers and shoes and another shirt and maybe a tie, but I'll get a holster also. I don't know.
Okay, perfect. So you're going with the I'm a cop look, but I like that about you. It's going to look nice. So, okay, boom, you'll be a cop. That's great. I'll go full gangster then, and then we'll have the range. We'll be like a spectrum of criminality.
Everett, would you get a standard tie or a bolo tie?
You get a standard tie. I don't think he wears bolos. Yeah.
Going fancy. All right, love it. All right, Ryan, what does full gangster look like for Ridley?
So I feel like Ridley buys like four more backup suits because he's realized how often he ends up shirtless that he needs like more of his usual.
And honestly, like International Men's Warehouse will always sell you like five suits for $130. So like, what could
exactly
go wrong?
And then he is buying a Don Johnson in Miami Vice suit. Just the white, it's got the shoulders, it's got the fancier, like the wide lapels kind of thing. I'd say he'll go with a paisley purple V-neck under it. White slacks. I think it's almost bowling shoes. You know those dress shoes that are, they'll be like purple and white, the leather overly designed ones. I think he'll buy a couple of gold rings so that he can like gangster up his fingers a little bit, and a chain with a male symbol. And then he'll get those 80s women's sunglasses that are like huge squares.
Yeah.
And that's going to be his look for Elysium.
I love it. I love it so much. It's so weird.
And Everett's going to get made fun of.
Yeah, good stuff. I also like that it's like, oh man, we really got to go shopping for some outfits. Iris has one. Like, we don't need to worry about that. There's invariably has like a trunk full of these. Yeah. Okay, great. So,
and she wasn't here to advise us to make better decisions.
Yeah. Like, you would have listened to her anyway. There's no fucking way. She would have been like, this is all terrible. Please just wear suits. And you would have been like, or shoulder pads.
I don't know. Everett might have done better.
Probably. Everett's just like, Everett's like, just like lack of imagination and like lack of any kind of flair. Like the biggest thing is like the hat, which probably looks weird in Montreal.
Yeah, the hat, and then I'm just imagining you in, like, suit pants, a dress shirt, a tie, and then you've just got a shoulder holster. Like, it's the most I'm a police detective at work outfit you could possibly buy.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and him just not knowing, like, what his thing is.
Very much just that tall guy from The Simpsons who gets out of his incredibly small car, and he's like, this was the largest car that I could afford. It's like, this is the nicest thing I could find. It's a tie. And this shirt has all its buttons, so
yeah,
pretty nice.
Just shoot at anyone who laughs at me.
Yeah, what could go wrong there?
Yeah,
great. With that, you are on to the next stop on your whirlwind tour. Ryan, you're trying to find a metal worker.
The
address that comes up when you get one of the bear boys to search it is Iris's condo building.
Great, perfect. Let's go.
So you arrive at the building, you talk to the doorman. It's a less exciting interaction than he has with Iris because he's not, like, vaguely in love with you guys. You get to Iris's floor. You can hear, like, Beyonce blasting through the wall from down the hall. But you've kind of learned, like, you guys have busted in on Iris a bunch. And I think it's one of those times where it's like, honestly, if we can just leave her alone this time, let's do that because we know we're going to fuck this up next time. So, like,
yeah, I think he looks to Everett as they hear the really loud Beyonce through the door. And he's like, normally I'd ask you to fucking help, but I feel like she needs this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been particularly hard on her. I think I don't think she enjoyed her stint as Lurleen. So maybe let this one lie.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? Play that song, you're not going to jail for murder or whatever. So, okay, what's the fucking address? He's like, he just holds out the paper with it written on it to Ridley, or to Everett, and he's like, so, what door do I fucking knock on?
And what do I see?
It's a Google Map printout. There's basically just like a stylized logo for KM Metal Solutions. And like the address is very clear and the apartment number is clear. It does say call to make
an
appointment.
It's in an apartment.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is like loft space though, so that would probably make sense here.
Okay.
Yeah, we also established that that's part of the way that the attack on Emily went unnoticed is there's just a metal worker down the hall who's like, I sculpt during the day. Everyone's like, great.
Right. So I see the apartment number and I see we're on the appropriate floor and it's just a couple doors down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just gesture over like down the hall. It's like, it's that one over there.
All right. And I just go over and knock on the door.
You hear like a clang of metal and that sort of thing. A thin guy with kind of spiky blonde hair and like perma scruff. Opens the door and he's like, look, I know it's getting close to 9, but like I'm almost done these projects. So wait, who the hell are you guys?
Hello, we're movie producers and I'd like to pay you a bunch of money to make me things I need for our next film.
Oh, that's amazing. What film is it? I love cinema.
It's Vampire 7, The Italian Renaissance. I know it's rare, it's from Italy, so you won't have seen the prequels, but it's very important that we get this made quick.
Okay, well, listen, I'm in the middle of making a weirdly creepy zebra statue that for some reason is very spiky and will invariably end up in a marketplace somewhere where kids will look at and say, why the fuck is that there? And everyone will be like, art. So it's really important I finish that, but once I'm done with spiky zebra, I'd be happy to help.
See, I understand where you're at on that, but what I'm telling you is I want to pay you a bunch of money, but I need what I need for tomorrow. So if you can delay the spiky zebra what the fuck for a day, and I can just get this done overnight, then I can pay you a bunch of money, and we'll both be happy.
Okay, you'll also need to pay off the bylaw officers who will no doubt come by and ticket me for doing metal work overnight, but I mean, fuck it, I'm kind of high. I'm happy to do this. Just, you know, pay them off if you don't mind.
Oh, that's my fucking man.
Oh God, I'm gonna have to. Sorry, I got a cool, weird, kinky fuck buddy thing going on with my neighbor down the hall. It's no big deal, but it's hot. Ah, I was gonna get into that tonight, but I guess I'll just have to delay it.
Well, I mean, which neighbor is it? Because I know Iris Dunn right over there.
Yeah, that's her. That's her. She is a freak, man.
Yeah, what's she into? I'm curious. I don't know much about her personal life.
Oh, man.
Mr. Producer, I don't know how important that is to our movie project.
Not, but we could spare a minute. He's already agreed to take the work. So, like, what's she into? What are you doing?
Like, we don't want to take away from this artist's time.
All right, Tyler, I need you to roll
the essence.
I
think Everett is just uncomfortable. Like, it's not even like a...
It's not strategy. Thing. It's personal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to need persuasion and I think resolve. Just like, I don't want this. And then Ryan, for you, persuasion and charisma, please.
Where's my persuasion? I don't have any. Okay.
Two successes. And remember how many hunger die you got, Tyler, because you got a ton.
Yeah, I've got 3 hunger and I can only roll 2 dice. So, but they're both successes.
2 versus 2. Unfortunately, it's a stalemate. So he just kind of says, okay, I tell you what, like, it seems like your hired muscle here is pretty uncomfortable. Why don't I tell you about it when you come to pick up the stuff?
You know what? That makes sense. He's not tremendously sexually liberated, this one, you know, from Texas.
Iris Dunn will change that, I can tell you.
Oh, I fucking believe that's possible. So can we come in? This feels like an awkward conversation.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Come on in. Don't mind the cocaine. And sure enough, there's just like a small pile over by his weird metalworking. It is indeed a spiky-ass zebra.
Okay, cool. So I need a couple of things from you, and I brought the raw materials that I think you'll need. And he just empties out a bag, and it's just full of, like, silver knives and the stakes and shit that they had. And he's like, so this is all silver, and because it's a vampire movie, I need you to recreate some bullets for me. Now, they're real because we shoot fake vampires with them. So can you make these? And he shows, like a handful of bullets that they have left. And he's like, I need these out of that. He points to the fucking pile of shit on the ground.
I don't know how to make bullets. I mean, I can make the casing, sure, but like, I don't know how to pack gunpowder or anything. That's crazy.
Okay, then just make the casings in the end and let the powder be my own fucking problem to deal with. The other thing I need is the most decisive prop of the franchise. It's going to be brand new for this movie and it's going to be big. Because what do you know about vampires? Bad with silver. They fucking hate silver, which is why we need a weapon that a vampire can use to kill other vampires. That's the big twist of the 7th one. So what I need is leather gloves, like thick leather gloves. So imagine this vampire was a grappler, you know, that actually likes to get in close. So what I need you to do is make finger covers at the top of the gloves that are silver that go to points so they're spiky and bladed and you can just rip people with them of the fingers and the thumbs. And then across the knuckles, I need you to make silver knuckle dusters with a little bit of spiky bits. So if he's punching him, if he's wrestling, if he's grappling, if he's tearing, it'll fuck up those vampires. And then, because he's a vampire, this character, you know, is fucking complicated.
Like Blade, the Daywalker.
Yeah. We don't call him that because we don't want to have these legal problems, which is why instead of a sword, we're doing this thing. And then I need a sheath for him. So, you know, like a scabbard. And it would go to the small of his back, like it would fit under a jacket, let's say like this one. He just waves his jacket. And he's like, so the gloves sit there and he can just reach back and put his hands in them and take them out without having to touch the silver. And then he can put them away without having to touch the silver. So he could be, you know, a vampire fighting grappling monster. Can you fucking make those gloves?
I mean, I can try. I'll have to call my leather working buddy because I don't really do that. I'm a metal working guy. But yeah, we can probably do that. Listen, what actor's doing it? Is it someone big? I bet it's someone famous.
You know what? I'm just going to say it's exactly who you think it is. If you have a deep thought.
Oh, shit. Idris Elba, vampire hunter. But wait, he would look terrible in a jacket like that.
Well, that's why I said like. You know, I'm not going to tell you it's Idris Elba, and I'm not going to tell you that it's a cape instead of a jacket. What I'm going to say is make it so it would go under this jacket and make it to match my hands. are very similar to Idris Elba's. You'd think they're bigger, but they're not. They're exactly the size. That's why I had to come.
All right, man. This seems good. How much are you going to pay? And I'm going to need half up front.
Great. What I'm thinking is you keep a third of the silver, and then you can fucking sell that.
I don't think that's how payment works. It's just random silver. It's not really worth that much. You brought me a bunch of, like, dinnerware.
No. You melt it down. It's this value. And he, like, takes out his phone, and he realizes he can't do it. And he's like, you know, my associate is going to show you the value per ounce of silver right now. Do it, muscle.
And Everett, who we did not talk about this at all beforehand, is just kind of like, a lot.
Use your phone. Show him a dollar amount. You can fucking do this.
Yeah, so yeah.
After several minutes of awkward Googling, you come to an agreement that, yes, this does indeed seem like a decent amount. He also makes you promise to put in a good word for him with Iris. Having concluded your business there, Tyler, it is now time to go meet Jocelyn St. James. Ryan, was there anything else you wanted to do before you kind of tuck in for the night? Are you going to meet her as well?
Yeah, I think he'd asked her. He's like, you want me to go with you to meet this fucking burning vampire murderer?
Doesn't matter to me one way or another. I think you're a part of this, you know? She's going to probably require your talents just as much as mine or Iris's.
All right, well, I guess I'll go with you because I can't commit myself or the boys to anything I don't fucking know about. So let's go fucking find out. What the fuck's going on?
Hey, I just got a quick question. You mentioned your boys, you've given them a trip to Barbados. Are you going to do the same thing with them that you just did in there? Are you just going to give a bunch of raw silver to like a travel agent? Because I want to tell you up front, that's not going to work again.
No, I've got a bunch of fucking money. It's fine. That's why I run a criminal empire. See, you like to sleep at a desk and not do anything. And I'm a big fan of, you know, putting fingers in pies, running protection rackets, selling crooked things. Oh, yeah, I also got a bunch of drugs. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out 9 vials of drac. And he's like, they were fucking selling this at that club when everyone became vampire frenzied monsters. You think the two are related?
I do indeed, yeah.
Interesting. We should look into this later. And he puts it back in his pocket. He's like, but let's go beat the psychopath first.
The other psychopath.
With that and with the vials of drac in hand, you make your way to go meet Jocelyn St. James, who incidentally is very excited to talk to you about that very substance.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.